What's up, America? I'm Chad the Bird, and this is my podcast. Hey, Chicago, I'm talking to you specifically. You're living under a climate crisis, amongst other things. The city council voted to officially declare that you are experiencing a climate emergency. This last year, you saw 20-foot waves from Lake Michigan flood parts of the city and disappear whole parts of your beaches. So, unless you want to stand on the shoreline and calmly accept it like Taya Leone at the end of Deep Impact, the time is now to do something about climate change. Join Hero Power right now, and you can have 100% of your electricity consumption matched with Green E-certified renewable energy certificates and still pay the ComEd basic electric rate. That's right. I didn't stutter. You heard me. You support clean energy every time you pay your electricity bill, and it's no extra cost to you. It's easy. Takes 2 minutes. You can do it right now in self-isolation at myheropower.com. And if you think all this shit is just a little too weird, why don't you do a shot of Malort? If you're feeling absurd, getting advice from a bird, just do a shot of Malort. Malort, Hero Power, proud sponsors of Chad the Podcast, which is what you're listening to right now.
Hey, what's going on? It's the 4th of July, or so says the calendar on my phone, which I am trusting less and less here in the lockdown. Yesterday it told me it was Friday, but it doesn't feel like a Friday. In fact, it hasn't felt like a Friday since the last time it did, which was in December. But I'm gonna trust it, even though it feels like the last thing I can. Fuck me. We're still here, people. We're still moving, still shaking. Think back with me, won't you? To a time before, a long time ago, far, far away in the past. Wednesday, I think. I didn't know if I was gonna make it. I didn't know if it was gonna be the disease or the cousin fuckers on Facebook that would kill me first. I didn't think I was gonna get here. But here we are. Here I am. And here it is. The 4th of July. And what can be said that hasn't already been lip-fucked by a platinum blonde suburbanite on TikTok? You're gonna hear the fireworks, which I love. I'm sorry. I think they're cool. I get they suck now. But what hasn't been ruined by your relatives on TikTok? Can't even dab anymore. You're gonna eat your smoky meats, which is fine anytime, really. Except when it is served with a side of ignorance to the police state and systemic racism, it really takes the zazz out of the whole experience. And the soulful blare of a lesser-known hairband or country songbird will wail about the glory of red, white, and Jesus. But thankfully, it won't be coming from a touch tune in the back of a sports bar over your freedom brunch, unless you're horny with blatant disregard of a global pandemic. Happy birthday, America! At least we're still drinking. Here's the thing. If you're new to my podcast, back in the day, and by that I mean up until fucking March, I'd be doing this from Bender Studios, with the pepper to my Tony, Clark Bender, at the controls, and then we would cut to a live set I had done that week at the Green Mill in Chicago, which, if you don't know, is not just a registered historic landmark, but also a haunted gangster bar in Uptown. But since the lockdown began, I have been sheltered in place in a bunker in an undisclosed location beneath the Earth's crust, far from human sneezes, and zooming with my buds to see how they're coping on the surface. It's been a ride. Go back a few episodes. It's a good escape. But today, since it's the 4th of July, I thought I would spin a classic from my days at that bar a few years back, 2017, when we were just starting to dive over the long drop of the flaming dumpster on a roller coaster track that would become 2020. Now, in this past recording, I break down a few famous myths for you to lob at your Uncle Patriot in case he starts up at the cookout, which he most certainly will do. I figured it'd be a couple of good softballs to hit him right now, since he's not going to change his mind on Black Lives Matter or defunding and abolishing the police, and he's not going to listen when you tell him time and time again that the more he defends his Trump vote, the more he sounds like somebody who bought a shitty car, even though you warned him that the car was shitty, but fuck you, it's a good deal, that's the car he always wanted, and you're like, is it? It doesn't even have a tape deck. And he's like, fuck you, there's America. And even though the car would stall right out of the driveway so many times it became your alarm clock in the morning, and he kind of hit a cat because the brakes didn't work, but it was the Johnson's cat, and he didn't really like them anyway. And the passenger door fell off on the highway and caused a semi to fishbone a minivan full of elderly women on their way to church, but he didn't know because he had his headphones in, because as I mentioned, there isn't even a tape deck. And the exhaust, it barfs out every time he starts it, hangs in the air like a storm cloud, and the engine sounds like a Nazi rally, and the windows are basically cling wrap, and the steering wheel is just a wrench made in China, and it slid off the cinder blocks in the middle of the night, and it rolled into the living room through the side of the house, and now the house is on fire because it's been leaking gas this whole time, but fuck you, it was a good deal. I figure, instead of reminding him that his Trump-loving Facebook posts are trash, maybe let's lob some of these softballs and more digestible truths at him to start with, since he uses America as his excuse for everything. Maybe this will help remind him that he doesn't really know shit about the nation he's chugging beer over. So here's an oldie but a goodie. Sorry I couldn't do more. I will, but for now, go forth into these Ameriminders and pop some tops, because it's the USA's birthday, and at least we're still drinking.
Promise that you like me, cause it could go downhill. I can't promise that you love me, but you probably will.
America! You're the land of the free, home of the brave, majestic purple mountains, fruity plains, and the rockets are glittering red as your flag was still fucking there. Holy shit! And you say you know all of this already, but like, here's the thing. Do ya? Yeah, you're a glorious experiment in liberty and democracy. A smart, spry, witty rogue with a golden heart that tells great stories, but lately, you've been a walking asshole. Sporting a bald eagle tank top and pissing your cargo shorts because all you've had to eat is in that yard of beer around your neck. Your memory is questionable. So wake up, red, white, and blue balls! And as the air warms with the scent of smoky meats and gunpowder, we will pause as we always do to salute the great fifey drummy history of you. But we need you to smarten up just a bit, because, like, we're worried you might have forgotten some stuff. But don't worry, we'll start simple. It's afternoon, it's your birthday, we got shit to do. But pay attention, America, because this is about your favorite thing, America. First off, you're named after the Italian explorer Amerigo Vespucci, who figured out that Columbus was full of shit. He didn't make it to India. He's a fucking idiot. That's New World, baby. Never mind that, like, the Vikings got there, like, 500 years before, and also there were, like, people living there already, but whatever. Happy birthday, America! Now, technically, your birthday isn't until the 2nd of July. That's when the Continental Congress declared its independence from the Kingdom of Great Britain. You see, here's how it works. Big T. Jefferson wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence in June of 1776. Passed it off for review. Independence was declared on July 2nd, and the final draft was approved on July 4th. So the date on the copy that was signed in August and is now on display at the National Archives is the date that was approved. And it wasn't until after the Revolution, and probably also the fact that John Adams and T. Jeff both died on July 4th, that the holiday took off. And in 1876, Congress declared it as a national holiday. So while you're grilling brats and slamming high lives on the roof this July 4th, make a stop at Office Max and grab a highlighter, because it's really a holiday in honor of proofreading. But the independence was real. You did it. You got it. Fly your flag high! It's called Old Glory for a reason. But do you know why it's stars and stripes, red, white, and blue? No, you don't! Stop lying! Sober up!
Continental Congress adopted a flag design in 1777, which was originally meant for naval use. You see, Secretary Charles Thompson stated that it shall be, quote, white for purity and innocence, red for hardness and valor, and blue is the color of the chief, end quote. The bars signify vigilance, perseverance, and justice, and the stars were chosen to represent a new constellation in the sky. Now, it's widely known that Betsy Fastfinger Ross sewed the first flag based on a design by Big Daddy Washington in 1776, but there is no evidence to support that, other than a claim by her grandson, Ross Canby. In reality, Francis Hopkins, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence, designed the flag in 1777 when he was a naval chairman, and he only asked for a quarter cask of public wine as payment. But he never got it. Betsy Ross sewed a flag, but not the flag, which came about through a series of more redesigns than Miller Lite bottles. But either way, it looks sweet coming at you across the ocean, and so it made its way into the culture as a symbol of unity, because at the time, everybody wanted to be Native American. See, back in the day, defecting to native tribes had become so popular that they had to post guards to keep people from, quote, going native. Ben Franklin even wrote about this, quote, "No European who has tasted savage life can afterwards bear to live in our societies," end quote. It is even noted by Cornell University in 1987 that the Iroquois government's major ideals, freedom of speech, religion, separation of power and government, checks and balances, directly influenced the American Constitution. But it's yours now! That's American! You remember that, right? Put a bird on it! Make it an eagle! But do you remember why it's the eagle? There's plenty of birds out there that can rock a pair of ripped jeans, so why is it the bald eagle? It was quite the hot debate. So after the Declaration was signed and peer-reviewed, Congress formed a committee to design the seal, and that committee was Jefferson, Adams, and Franklin. So the Triforce broed down and realized they didn't know shit about pageantry because they were too busy broing down. So they asked this artist who was living in Philly at the time named Pierre-Eugène de Cimetière to come down for a group sesh, just spitballing, where they each presented a design. Franklin whipped out a Bible scene, Moses standing on the shore, kind of dry, phoning it in, who wasn't doing Bible shit back then, with the tagline, "Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God," which just didn't pop. Jefferson wanted a, quote, "depiction of the children of Israel in the wilderness, led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night." Same deal, come on guys, a little on the nose. And Pierre came out with a more conventional seal, a shield with six sections representing the, quote, "countries from which these states have been peopled: England, Scotland, Ireland, France, and Germany, and Holland." And a little Latin at the bottom, "E pluribus unum." Adams chose a painting by Robert Strange called The Judgment of Hercules, which is basically a naked dude flexing in a leopard print shawl, leaning on a bat while two lady gods figure him out. And as close as Adams came to fucking nailing it, all three ideas were scrapped. First brand meeting was a bust. The only thing that Congress dug was the tagline, "E pluribus unum," which means "out of many comes one." And it wasn't until 1782 when Secretary Charles Thompson came back out of the gate and slayed the pitch with an image of a bald eagle holding an arrow for war and an olive branch for peace, while holding a shield of red, white, and blue, which he was just pushing the hard sell on. Just like, ease up, Thompson. Yeah, those are lovely colors, but everybody has those colors. Just get outside the box, buddy. He chose the eagle because it represented, quote, "supreme power and authority," and that got everybody's dicks hard. You remember that, right? That's a design you can drink to. But Franklin didn't really dig it, writing to his daughter, quote, "I wish that the bald eagle had not been chosen as the representative of our country. He is a bird of bad moral character. He does not get his living honestly. He is a rank coward. For a truth, the turkey, in comparison, a much more respectable bird, and withal a true original native of America," end quote. But whatever, stamped it, June 20th, 1782, B. Franks, we eat turkeys, and so do eagles. That's
as American as apple pie. And why apple pie, you ask? Why the fuck not? Is that not good enough for you, Paul Hollywood? Who you think you are, Mary Berry? Drown the British! I'm sorry for yelling. Apples weren't always here, you know. They're a foreign import, like palm trees or Ryan Reynolds. They were brought over on the Mayflower back in 1620, planted in 1625, and they really dug it here, like palm trees or Ryan Reynolds. With over 14,000 varieties by the 1800s, now pilgrims also brought over these little lumps of suet and flour with meat inside called pies. But the crust wasn't super great. It was mostly a form of Tupperware and just as tasty. And a little later on, when sugar got cheaper and the French introduced the butter crust, fruit pies started catching on because they didn't taste like bark, mulch, and fat anymore. Americans began to expand westward, and the apple hitched a ride, surviving longer than most fruits on the road and staying sweet and tough no matter what came along. They were basically the Ellen DeGeneres of fruit. A barefoot wandering missionary fellow named John Chapman was super into apples, and he started planting them along the frontier, even getting a pass from hostile native tribes. Because they were all the fucks up with this giggly psycho running around. White people, am I right? And from his seedling techniques, people picked up on the craze and the apple made its way west, earning John Chapman the nickname Johnny Appleseed. He also became famous for spreading dog fennel, which he thought was medicinal, but it's now considered an invasive weed. But like all barefoot hippies, you gotta take the good with the musty weird shit. So by 1860, it was well established that apple pie was an American thing. In 1869, Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote in her book, Old Town Folks, quote, "The pie is an English tradition, which, planted on American soil forthwith, ran rampant and burst forth into an untold variety of genera and species." So yeah, apple pie was brought here by immigrants, influenced by foreigners, and appropriated by white people who added sugar. You cannot get more American than that, baby. So happy birthday! You drive on the right because Conestoga wagons were easier to drive that way. Paul Revere didn't ride alone. Cowboys didn't wear cowboy hats, they wore derbies. Pilgrims didn't wear buckles because they were too expensive. Abner Doubleday did not invent baseball. And your name is not America, it's America. Is all this starting to sound familiar? That's you, America! Yeah, you're a two-sided coin. One side being a devilishly attractive crusader, and the other is a strawberry culotta in a boob mug. But God damn it! God damn it! We love you. If we didn't, we wouldn't care. If we didn't, we wouldn't take the time to remind you and your drunk ass of your truth. If we didn't, we'd be in Canada. So happy birthday, you beautiful son of a bitch! And if you paid attention, there's hope for you yet. See ya!
Special thanks to the Barracudas for that kick-ass song they call Promises, which is what you're hearing on the back end here and at the beginning of the podcast proper. Thank you to Jepson's Malort and Hero Power for being the pillars on which we lay our weary head in these difficult times. And thank you to the Green Mill for being there and still being around. Thank you to Jacob Serio for recording that piece from 2017. And thank you to you for listening. Please rate and review if you can. If you can't, just enjoy it and drink something special. We're gonna get through this, so stay proud, stay strong, stay hydrated, and most of all, stay you. Does that work? Stay you? I don't know.